It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. Yes, I am in China right now, but you've got to hear my special guest host today, Steve Noble, Christian broadcaster, author, and oh, you got to hear the rest. Here he is.
What in the world is a Christian wacko? That's my question. That was one of the first questions Dr. Brown asked me when I joined him on his show a few years ago as a guest. Now, as a guest host, that was the topic of the conversation. What in the world, Steve, is a Christian wacko? Well, Michael Brown and I have known each other for several years. Like Michael, I've been an activist. Now, I'm not going to put myself anywhere near his category, all right? This is how I would put the difference between Steve Noble and Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Michael Brown brings, basically, the perspective from the pulpit, okay? He's the voice from the pulpit. I, on the other hand, I'm the view from the pew. I'm a father. I'm a homeschooling dad. I have an incredible wife, four incredible kids. We're homeschoolers. Grew up in mainline Protestant denominations, essentially from a salvific perspective. Grew up nothing. Didn't get saved. Didn't get born again until I was 28. Didn't get radicalized till I was 36. And then it's just been this wild ride ever since. And God's allowed me to meet incredible people like Dr. Michael Brown. And so it's a great privilege and honor, of course, to sit in for him today and tomorrow. So it's great to be here. Pray for Michael, because he's in China right now doing what the Lord has called him to do, which is quite a lot. It reminds me of Moses needing some of his folks to help hold his arms up while he was in battle. Michael's been in battle for the kingdom of God over the souls of men for 3+ decades now. So pray for Michael and his team as he's in China doing the Lord's work, and pray for him when he gets back, and support his incredible ministry in any way that you can. But it's great to be here. Christian wacko, that's a phrase that I actually kind of lifted from a Vance Havner quote. Vance Havner, now I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael Brown lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. I know we're talking to people all over the great country of the United States of America. I've lived in 8 different states. I was born in Texas, so in Texas, Maryland, Louisiana, Virginia, Michigan, what was next? Illinois, Ohio, and then North Carolina. So I've lived all over the place. But Vance Havner was a great 20th century revivalist and author from North Carolina. And he once said this: the church has become so subnormal that when one acts New Testament normal, it appears to people to be abnormal. So check that out. If you act like a New Testament Christian, a lot of people, Christians included, are going to think you're a little over the top. You're a little abnormal. You're kind of wacko. But really, the reality is, if you act like a New Testament Christian, you're normal. And all the other Christians, unfortunately, who are not acting and living and thinking and speaking and giving and serving like New Testament Christians, are what I used to be, is subnormal. Now, I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal. I can't do that. I realize the depth of my depravity, the nature of my sin, and the unbelievable truth of my salvation. But man, when you just kind of sell yourself out, when you get free from the bondage of the world, when you get free from the fear of men and you only fear God, I'm telling you, it's the most liberating, exciting way to live. I'm on the other side of the glass now, yelling to all of you friends, all my friends out there that are just kind of living that so-so Christian life. I'm like, forget it. You got saved. It's awesome. Praise God. But he's got so much more for you. And that's true. Not just me being on the radio. That's true for you, where you're at in your sphere of influence, your folks, your workplace, your ministry, if you're in ministry, your wife, your husband, your children. God can do amazing things in you and through you right where you're at. So the fact that I'm on the radio or Dr. Brown is on the radio doesn't make us any better than any other Christian. It just makes us different. We all have an incredible opportunity to be a part of this unbelievable story of salvation, the redemption of mankind that God is unfolding over time and space, and you have a part to play. Now, you're going to get to heaven. Praise God for that. But if you don't play your part, you're going to miss it. So when we come back, guess what we're going to talk about? Boy, talk about a sacred cow. Fat pastors. This is Steve Noble for Michael Brown. We'll be right back.
Give us strength through all
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back. It's Steve Noble sitting in for my brother from another mother, Dr. Michael Brown. I'm also a radio broadcaster, fellow Christian, and it's great to be with you here on the AskDrBrown.org. That's the website. So make sure you're supporting what God is doing in and through Dr. Brown and this awesome ministry. The question today, what do you do with fat pastors? What do you do with that? On my show, we talk about no sacred cows, meaning if pastors are uncomfortable talking about it, if you're not going to hear it in church, odds are you're going to hear it on my show. But fat pastors, I mean, I feel bad even saying that, fat pastors. It's just a horrible thing. But what do you do? Well, let me ask you this question. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think it costs a pastor any mojo, any power, any authority in the pulpit if they're fat, if they're obese, if they're massively overweight? Is that a problem for you? If you're in a church and the pastor comes in, guest pastor, maybe it's your pastor and they're just way on down the line with their weight. Does that cause a problem for you? Do you think there's something wrong with that? Do you think it somehow harms their message? Is that an issue? Are fat pastors even an issue, or am I just a big judgmental jerk? 866-348-7884 is our number, or 866-34-TRUTH. This got on my radar screen a while ago when I read a FoxNews.com article called Fat in Church. I was like, wow. Well, let's read this one. This isn't very pretty. Nearly one half of the American population will be obese by 2030, according to a 2012 study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. The researchers estimate that this will result in an additional $66 billion in healthcare. We're going to talk about Obamacare next hour, by the way. $66 billion in healthcare expenditures, 7.8 million new cases of diabetes, 6.8 million new cases of stroke and heart disease, and 539 new cancer diagnoses. This epidemic of obesity and commonly associated diseases creates a gash in the fabric of our country that threatens the future of individuals, families, and our nation. Now listen to this, Christians, but a potentially larger crisis is looming in the pews of churches across America. In fact, statistics suggest that the church today may indeed be in worse condition than the general population. A 2006 Purdue study found that the fundamental Christians are by far the heaviest of all religious groups, led by the Baptists. I'm a Southern Baptist, by the way, with a 30% obesity rate. Oh, my goodness. Compared with Jews at 1%, Buddhists and Hindus at 0.7%. This study prompted the lead researcher to say America is becoming a nation of gluttony and obesity, and churches are a feeding ground for the problem. So do you have a problem? How do you, and listen, I'm trying to do this with as much love as I possibly can. All right. As much love as I possibly can. But this is just one of those things. We have to talk about it because this isn't going to just be about pastors by the time this first hour of Dr. Brown's show is over, friends. It's going to be about all of us. It's going to be about spiritual fruit. It's going to be about our witness. I'm going to bring Lisa up. It's calling in from Maryland. Lisa, you're on with Steve. Go ahead. What do you think of this whole fat pastors issue?
Hello?
Hello, Lisa. You're on. Go ahead. Is Lisa there? Let's put Lisa back on hold right quick. Can you bring up Lisa? Let's go ahead and bring up Lisa on line one, and we'll bring her up and see what she has to say about this one. Lisa, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so fat pastors, this is kind of a difficult subject. What do you think? Do you think it's an issue?
I do think it's an issue. I can't claim to be the thinnest person in the world. In fact, I have a lot of improvement to make. But I feel like, you know, when our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and if we have a spiritual leader in the church that isn't taking care of that temple, that's not thinking about those things, I have issue. We left the church not long ago for a number of different reasons. And looking back on it, we didn't resonate with the pastor and so forth. But I'm not kidding you. He probably weighed 400 pounds.
Wow, how sad.
Yeah, and it was very sad. And I'd see him out at restaurants, and he'd get the double cheeseburger platter and extra fries and all that. And so it wasn't something that was, very rarely are weight problems something that nobody can do anything about. And
right.
There are 12-step programs. New Life has a great Lose It for Life program.
There's all kinds of that. There's no lack of solutions out there. Lisa, so when somebody like that is preaching from the pulpit, do you think it hurts the message?
I do. I think it's a detraction. I think it, it takes away credibility.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a great point. Lisa, that's a great point, and thanks so much for calling in. And she's right. Listen, it impacts you. Now you sit out there and start judging. You would be in sinful judgmentalism if you're now talking about why the pastor struggles with their weight. Oh, because they're lazy. Okay, you don't know that unless you know them intimately. So you got to be careful with that. But can you deny that it has some impact on the message, that it has some impact on their witness, not only in the church, but out in the culture at large? Let's bring up Gina, who's calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina, here in the great state of North Carolina. And I want to see what Gina thinks about this whole issue of fat pastors. Gina, should we be talking about this?
Hey, I think we should. I think that we should talk about all other kinds of proclivity to sin. And just because mine might not be food, I still feel that from the pulpit, I'm also, if I was a pastor, I would be called to a greater, almost a greater calling. You know, I'm representing Jesus and all that he has for the people that are supposed to be following me.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up, Gina. And because, listen, if you go to 1 Timothy, start talking about some of the requirements of an overseer. One of them is to be beyond reproach. Listen, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, is it not? And so if we're going to preach a message about how we should follow after Christ, but we're a walking example, at least in this case, of a lack of self-control, of a lack of good stewardship of our own bodies, does that cost you? And then I'll get into some more numbers here as the show unfolds of what's happening. You want to talk about Obamacare? We'll do that in the second hour. And our cost and what it costs us in time and energy and ability to pursue the things of God, this is a huge problem. But nobody wants to talk about it. Want to know why? Because 68% of Americans are overweight. And about 35% of them are obese. So we never want to talk about things. I often say this, I've got a PhD in your spec, but only a GED in my plank. We need to talk about these things, friends, with love. But we need to talk about them because we're killing our witness. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think we should be talking about fat pastors? Is this an issue? Let's go to Tammy, who's calling in from Virginia. Tammy, you're on with Steve. Oh, we lost her. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Ann, who's calling in from North Carolina. She's on line one. And Ann, we're talking about fat pastors today. Is this a worthy topic? Ann, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. I know it's a tough topic, but first of all, it seems like they are wearing their lack of self-control, which I can identify with. We all can to one degree or another. But also, I think that the whole overeating issue is because in the church, it's the last of the acceptable sins. Yeah. Everywhere you turn, we have potlucks. You know, it literally is. I mean, it's like they're stuffing themselves and to compensate for what they can't do. I mean, to be honest, and I know this has been my nemesis all my life, but God has warned me quite a few times. I'm now down from over 220 pounds years ago to 157.
Wow, awesome!
And and I'm staying there. That's what's so amazing. But it does take daily fighting the good fight and self-control. The overweight leads, I mean, God has warned me several times, this is life and death.
Yeah.
They're diminishing their lives. They're diminishing their capabilities. They are, you know, in this time when we're, healthcare is so, such a crazy subject, and they're just putting themselves, their flock, by having this lack of self-control, and their families in harm's way.
Yeah, there's a lot of example. That's exactly right. Thanks so much for calling in. There's a lot of prices to be paid there. A lot of prices to be paid. I mean, and unfortunately, I live down here in the South. The further south you go, the Bible Belt sliding south, mostly because we're so stinking overweight. But because that's just the way the culture's going. But my goodness, see, the thing about this isn't all about just the fact that we've got a lot of pastors. A higher percentage of pastors are obese than there are people outside the pulpit, by the way. And that's a really difficult thing to say, but it is the truth. Okay, that's just the truth. But the sadder thing here is we've got a big problem where we're not willing to really deny ourselves much of anything. Now the powerful thing about this whole weight issue and fat pastors is you see it. But listen, how often do we have this problem when it comes to pornography, when it comes to spending, when it comes to a preoccupation with all things political, this lack of the ability or desire, We have the ability through Christ, but the lack of desire to deny ourselves anything, and it really shows up in the pulpit with an unbelievably large percentage of our pastors who are overweight. And does it cost them something from the pulpit? That's a great question. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Mary, who's calling in from Alexandria, Virginia. I used to live right by you, Mary. This is Steve Noble. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's great being here in the D.C. area. I don't feel like I see it as much, I think, that you mentioned, as you do further south.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is about, but something, maybe it's warm and it's easy to just relax and eat. I don't know. But I just am glad that you brought up this topic because it has always bothered me.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on hold, Mary, and pick you up after the break. This is Steve Noble sitting in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Brown, talking about fat pastors. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, this is Steve Noble sitting in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Brown, a Christian wacko, some would say a Christian shock jock, but Michael Brown is a dear friend, a brother from another mother, and it's great to be able to stand in for him. I do a show as well across the Truth Radio Network down here in the North Carolina, the beautiful state of North Carolina. That's how I know Dr. Brown, and it's just great to be here. Listen, you're a friend of Dr. Brown's. I'm a friend of Dr. Brown's. We're all friends, right? Nice to meet you. If you're a part of the body of Christ, we're going to spend all eternity getting to know each other. This is just the first step. So that's pretty cool. Listen, we're talking about fat pastors today, a very difficult subject, but one that we need to talk about. I say on my show, there's no sacred cows. Listen, Christianity isn't just about Sunday or Sunday night or Monday afternoon or Wednesday night at dinner, which is kind of interesting that I bring that up. It's all the time. It's everything all the time. Okay, that's the deal. And fat pastors, the fact that our pastors are struggling, listen, we're all struggling. This is a huge problem in the church. It's a huge problem in the culture. This is shocking. Then I'm going to get back to Mary, who's kind enough to stay on hold. 2011, Northwestern University study tracking over 3,400 men and women for 18 years found that young adults who attend church or a Bible study once a week are 50% more likely to be obese. See, we say one thing. And we live another. In theology world, I'm a student in ethics, Christian ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We say that your orthodoxy, what you believe, does not match your orthopraxy, how you live. The Pawtucket Heart Health Program found that people who attend church were more likely than non-church members to be 20% overweight and have higher cholesterol and blood pressure numbers. So you want to get sick and die young? Apparently you go to church. Finally, a 2001 Pulpit and Pew study of 2,500 clergy, now we're talking about pastors, found that 76% were overweight or obese compared to 61% of the general population at the time of the study. Really, really sad stuff. We lack self-control. We don't deny ourselves anything. Gluttony is a sin that's all over the place. It might show up in your weight, might show up in your time on the internet, but man, this is a huge problem. That's why we're talking about it today on the Line of Fire. Let's go back to Mary, who was kind enough to hold from Virginia. Mary, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there. Go ahead and finish your thought on this fat pastor's issue.
No, that's okay. I'm sitting here like jaw dropped on the statistics. That breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I guess my point was I come from kind of a substance abuse, alcohol background before I really came back to Christ, and so for me to feel sort of like there's a ranking of sin, like, well, that was such a sin. And so many people I go to church with, you know, have no experience of what I've come through, but yet, you know, like you said, the Wednesday night dinners, and you can go to church and pig out on these huge buffets feasts of gluttony, and I don't understand why we kind of turn the blind eye to that we think that is not as sinful as, you know, the drug addict that walks in or the homosexual that walks in, you know?
Right.
So I think, there needs to be a wake-up call on it for sure.
Great point. Thanks so much for calling in, Mary. I appreciate it. And Mary's, you know why we don't talk about it? You know why? You want to talk about planks and specs? Let's just talk about donuts. I don't talk about the donut stuck in your eye because I have a big old fat donut stuck in my eye. So nobody says anything. Isolation is destruction. We don't talk about it. It stays in the dark. Satan rules in the dark, and we are fat, sick, and nearly dead, and killing our witness. I mean, now, there's some people, like we said this earlier, there's some people that just have physical issues that the weight's just going to be a huge challenge for them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those of us that are overweight, obese, fat, whatever you want to say. They all sound terrible. I'm sorry to have to use these words, but listen, it's a massive problem for most people. It's simply a lifestyle choice. We're not denying ourselves anything. We're indulging in everything. We lack self-control, which is a fruit of the spirit. It's a huge issue. Let's go to Cindy, who's calling in from New York. Cindy, we lost Cindy there. Let's go to Hurley, who's calling in from Boston. Hurley, you're on with Steve Noble on the Line of Fire talking about fast pastors. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. This is it's a pleasure to talk to you, and it's
you
good
too.
To have you on. It's good
Thank
to
you.
On. We need more of these talks. I want to say about it's about self-control, okay? Self-control and sex. The preacher, the pastor where I go, the church I go, he was talking about women have to be ready for the man whenever they want it, whenever they want sex. And how about self-control? You know, the men of the world doesn't know of this, and they buy into the devil's lie that, you know, a man cannot be without sex or without a woman. How about the men in the church, the godly men? How about the self-control?
Yeah, well, that's really
talked about. That needs to be talked about a lot.
Yeah,
and it hasn't been talked about at all.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there, Hurley. That's a great point. It comes down to self-control. Listen, why do we have a massive pornography problem in the church? A lack of self-control. Why do we have a massive problem with gossip? Lack of self-control. Why do we have a massive problem with our massiveness? Lack of self-control. Now, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and God can't bless that much, friends. That's just a reality. The Bible is full of if-then statements. You don't have any self-control, you're going to be hard to bless. Let's go to Jay, who's in calling from Maryland. Oh, we lost Jay. Sorry about that, Jay. Let's go to Margarita, who's calling in from New York. Margarita, you're on with Steve in the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? I'm enjoying
great, thank
show
you.
Today.
Thank you.
My opinion compared to the others that have called a little different.
Sure.
I have a female pastor, and she's a little overweight, and she's conscious of it. But when I go to church and I see her, I listen to her message, what she's putting, you know, towards the congregation. And, you know, we all have our little weight problems and everything. But I don't think that the weight of a pastor should, you know, like you go to church and say, oh, my pastor's heavy, my pastor's this and that, even though she's left behind. I'm just saying in general, we need to focus on why we're in the church. We're not there to say, you know, it's like saying, oh, I don't like the dress, I don't like that. Me personally, when I go to church, I get my message, I get my word, I get, you know, anointing,
sure.
Anointed.
And well, let me ask you this. Those are great points, Margarita. Let me ask you this question, because I'm glad you're bringing that up, because we know the scriptures tell us, and we believe it, that the God's word never comes back void. So every time it's preached, I don't care if it's preached by a skinny person, an anorexic, or an obese person, God's word doesn't come back void. And I'm with you there. I totally agree with you. But the question is, could we do better? Could we strive for something higher? Could we try to work to be a little more holy, to have a better witness? And so oftentimes we go, well, you know, she is preaching the word, and that's great. But where do we find in scripture where you just get to a certain level and you stop?
I agree with you, but it's like saying, oh, well, the shoes that the person is wearing are not good shoes. They're not from a good brand or something.
Well, I gotta disagree with you there, Mary, Marguerite, because you're talking about fashion and stuff that is worthless and doesn't mean anything. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about being a burden to your family. I'm talking about costing people money with health care and things like that, Margarita. And you can't. This isn't about whether you have nice clothes or not. This is about the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body that we've been given to steward over. I'm not talking about shoes or jeans or what type car you drive. That's all garbage. It's all going to go away. What are we doing with the bodies that, by the way, are going to be resurrected? So we can be a part of that, of stewarding the future today. We need to be good stewards of everything. We're always striving. We're striving to achieve the prize, just like the Apostle Paul said. This is Steve Noble filling in for Dr. Brown on the Line of Fire. More fat pastors, unfortunately, when we come back after this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oops. Sorry about that. It's like trying to wear somebody else's shoes. They don't always fit very well. I'm so used to my show clock, I'm not used to my dear friend Dr. Michael Brown's show clock. This is Steve Noble. I'm the host of something called Called to Action Radio, where we say there's no sacred cows down here in the great state of North Carolina. On the Truth Radio Network, that's how I met Dr. Brown, my brother from another mother. So I'm a radio guy, too, 5 days a week. A regular Christian, though. Michael Brown is just this brilliant guy. He's really brings the voice from the pulpit, okay? I'm the view from the pew. I'm more like most of you guys. I'm a father, a homeschooling father, my wife, our four kids. I've got bills to pay. I'm not speaking from on high. I'm fairly well educated. I'm working on my master's degree in Christian ethics from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so am I smarter than the average Christian? I don't know. Maybe a little more educated on that level. Maybe. But mostly I'm just like you guys, except I'm on this side of the mic and you're on that side of the radio or the internet. But God's given me this voice. He's given me this boldness. He's given me this drive and this desire to challenge the church, to challenge myself. Listen, judgment begins in our house, friends. It doesn't begin out there. It begins in our house. What are we doing with the faith that we claim to have? Listen, I used to be big time, all the time, Christian right activist out there in the political realm. I'm still involved. But listen, this is what God did in me in the last few years. Is politics important? Yes. Politics is important. But the gospel, friends, is preeminent. And we in America, for the most part, have flipped that completely around. We act like all the answers are found in the halls of government. All the answers are found in Washington, D.C., in the White House, in the Senate, in the Congress. And those things are very important. Listen, that's the country we live in. That's the country God has placed us in. This is the form of government that we live under. I teach it to homeschoolers. Listen, I've got a bunch of homeschoolers. I teach them high school civics. Okay, I get it. I understand the Constitution. I understand the political process. We're blessed to live here. But it's not the ultimate need of America. The ultimate need of America isn't the President of the United States. It's the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. He's not in a party. He is the party. Okay, let's remember that. And by the way, as frustrating as it can be with politics, and I'm going to talk about Obamacare in the next hour. You can listen live online at AskDrBrown.org. It's a great website. You can listen live there talking about Obamacare. You want to talk about a reason to pray for those in authority over us, by the way, which is a command of Scripture. So I always ask people, I do this all the time, especially in a conservative group. Hey, how many of you are dissatisfied with the current administration? All these hands go up. All right, keep your hands up. Let me ask you a follow-up question. How many of you pray for the president every day? And all these hands come down, and then I just sit on it, 15, 20, 30 very uncomfortable seconds. And I say, yeah, you know that little feeling you're experiencing right now? Just as a little friendly reminder, that's called conviction. We can't whine about that which we're not willing to pray about. Let me just ask you this, and we'll jump back into the fat pastor's conversation. When's the last time you prayed for the President of the United States? This is Steve Noble talking about fat pastors. This is a really difficult subject. Here's another great article I found. Get the skinny on the anti-fat pastor. This was from an interview in Charisma Magazine just May of this year. Steve Reynolds has served as senior pastor at Capital Baptist Church in Annandale, Virginia since 1982, but he admits he's always had an eating problem, especially when it comes to ice cream. A few years ago, God spoke directly to his heart and to his high blood pressure and diabetes and told him to practice what he preaches and lose weight. After losing more than 100 pounds, he launched a weight loss campaign in his church and community. This is what he said. Basically, I'm sitting here as a pastor and I view myself as a temple trasher. I knew my body was the temple of God, but I wasn't honoring God in that way. The whole time I'm up there preaching to honor God with your body and I've got gravy dripping down my chin, I was trashing the temple. It took a long time, but God finally got a hold of my heart and I started thinking, what do I need to do about this? God started speaking to me and asked me, what do you tell other people to do? And he knew the answer, of course, was look in the Bible. So he followed his own advice. I decided to look up the word body in the Bible and to do a study on it. I figured there has to be something great in there about it, and the word is in there 179 times. That was the basis of his first book. The four keys I discovered in these passages, I started applying them and lost the weight. When I got to 70 pounds of weight loss, listen to this, I lost all three diseases. I'm prescription free. I surrendered my fork to God, and God healed my body. We want to be good stewards not only of our body, but of our money. Let's quit eating ourselves into an early grave and sticking everybody else with the bill. This is Steve Noble talking about fat pastors. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. This is Steve Noble sitting in for my friend, Dr. Michael Brown. Hey, you want to connect with me on Facebook? That would be awesome. It's just under my name, Steve Noble. I don't have some big fan page or whatever. I'm just like most of you guys out here trying to fight the good fight of faith, armed with the Holy Spirit, a pretty good knowledge of God's word, and that makes you very dangerous. Very dangerous for kingdom endeavors. So Facebook, check me out there, Steve Noble. The website for my radio show, c2atoday.org. If you want to find out how in the world I ended up this way, when you go to the website, you can check out the book as well. It's called The Making of a Christian Wacko. And again, there's nothing special about me. Everything special is about the God who saved me, changed me, and uses me every day. It's just an awesome way to live. Thank you, Father, in heaven. Let's go to our busy calls. Let's go to Maria real quick. She's calling in from New Jersey. Maria, you're on with Steve. Thank you so much for waiting, talking about a tough subject. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. When I was speaking and hearing it, I had kind of mixed views. But I always go back to what would Jesus have done. When he called the disciples, I don't think he was looking at their physical appearance. It says in the Bible that he judges by our heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And we're all supposed to be stewards of the gospel and sharing the gospel. And if we, I mean, I know we have to self-analyze, and I know we have to live right, eat right, but also, we have to be a living testimony. What fruits do we have? Are we joyful? Because that's the thing that's going to be attracting people. It says, you know, God's goodness attracts people to him. So if we have a right spirit, our heart is right, we have truthfulness, we have joy in our life, I think people would bypass, you know, the physical appearance. I would at least hope so. But in saying all that, I also feel that we have to be responsible for the way we look. So, you know, in that, I think that if somebody is within the spirit, they would be praying and, you know, have God just help them in all areas of the lives. And if weight is a problem, that he would help them with that. But I just feel like nobody would be preaching the gospel if we all so self, you know, analyzed ourselves to the point, because nobody's perfect. We all have our flaws. So that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, Maria, and I think those are great points, and thanks for calling in. The question I would ask you, Maria, and ask you to contemplate is, what if the obesity is a matter of the heart? What if the obesity is just an outward sign of an inward problem? Because I think it is. I think it's a, you know, 'cause most of the time, again, we're not talking about people that physically have a problem with weight. Okay. We're talking about the people that are there by choice and they've basically eaten themselves into that condition and a lack of self-control. Now I can tie in the fact that we've got about 71% of pastors that are overweight and obese with the fact that over 50% of pastors, by their own admission are messing around with pornography. What's that problem? That's a heart issue. It's a self-control problem. So I'm not going to blanket statement anything other than you can't get to heaven without Jesus. But I will say that this is a huge indicator of a huge problem that's lying underneath the surface. And what you see going on outside with the bad stewardship of the body, unfortunately, more often than not, is a sign of something else. And it's not a physical issue. It's not a looks issue. It's a heart issue, as all things are when you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ann, who's calling in from Washington, D.C. Ann, there in our nation's capital, you're on with Steve talking about fat pastors. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for waiting.
I think there's some sides to the issue, too, that should be brought out. I had the privilege many years ago to attend Washington Bible College and Capital Bible Seminary in Lanham, Maryland. And I saw a lot of men come home from the mission field. In fact, in those years, there were only about 5 women in the seminary and over 100 men. Most of those men were married. They had families. They were trying to make monthly bills on rent and food for their families themselves. And a lot of them probably were not eating like they should. You know, it only takes $2 to go into the grocery store and buy a box of pasta and a jar of spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
And a lot of the foods that are very cheap are also foods that are very high in calories. So that's one side of the issue that a lot of men, if you've attended seminary, you say you're going to classes, you can tell people are having a tough time just
sure.
making their bills, even to pay those seminary bills and the books and you know, that whole thing. So that's one aspect of it. And something else to think about, too, is that a lot of pastors keep some pretty wild hours.
Yeah.
They're not keeping the same hours that, you know, most people are. They're up at all kinds of crazy hours in the morning because that's the only time they can get to the church and they can get study without being interrupted. Then they go out and they're going to visitation to hospital. My pastor does. A lot of pastors don't even do it anymore. But my pastor is constantly on the road to visitation, visiting people who are shut in and in the hospital. And I know he's eating on the run. He's eating wherever he can stop, maybe at a fast food place, and grab something to eat and go right on to the next place to visit. That's another aspect of it. And then there's always a situation where, you know, everybody wants to feed the pastor.
Yeah.
People want to invite the pastor home. You know, pastor, come to our house for dinner. Well, when you go to somebody's house, you don't sit down at the table. Hey, I can't eat that, man. That's too high in calorie for me. I can't. You eat, you know, what is put before you with thanksgiving. You know, I just think those are some sides to the yeah. issue that people really need to face. And if people have never, for example, ever attended seminary and seen how those seminary students struggle, you know, to make their monthly bills and to pay the seminary, tuition and the books and the whole thing, transportation there, they're just not facing, you know, all of these.
No, they don't understand. Those are totally awesome points, Ann. I thank you so much for calling in and making those points. And to Ann's point, listen, everything she said is valid. Crazy schedules, limited income, all that stuff. So that brings the rest of us into this picture, friends. The rest of us into this picture. How often do we pray for our pastors? How often do we try to help our pastors? How often, if you're out there and you're a nutritionist and you can help them, why don't we help our pastors? Why don't we help each other? Wow, that's a novel thought. Listen, even out at a place as big as Saddleback with Rick Warren, who I have plenty of issues with Rick Warren, but one day, and I had a great article about this, he's baptizing people and he's sitting there and he had this really kind of unholy bad timing thought, and maybe it was a great thing, that he's like, you know what? Most of us are fat. He's baptizing people and he's like, oh my, we're fat. And so Rick Warren leads from the pulpit. He's lost a lot of weight. He changed his diet. He challenged his church. They've had like 12,000 people from, that's a huge church, but that's like 40% of them. Get involved in this. So now we're helping each other. Now we're praying for each other. And to the point of seminary students and stuff and people that don't have money, I hate that about this subject because you've got a huge health problem. The closer you get to big cities, the worse it gets because they have fewer money, fewer dollars, and fewer dollars buys you garbage when it comes to eat. I call it non-food food. And so we don't have an issue in the body of Christ. We don't have a resource problem, friends. We have an allocation problem. If we actually did the whole body of Christ thing, we could have a huge impact, starting with prayer and then helping one another. And if your pastor's big and he's going to come over to your house, for goodness sakes, don't make fried chicken and mashed potatoes. Make something pleasant. Make something nice. But take that into account. Let's enable each other. Let's help each other down this road. What if we looked at the rest of the country, looked at us and said, hey, you know, I noticed that diabetes and heart disease and cancer numbers are all lower in that church thing. What's up with that? Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because my body's not my own. I was bought with a price. I'm a steward of it. Man, and I want to serve the Lord with everything I've got, so I pay attention to what I eat. I'm not going to put it into idolatry. I'm not going to go for the magazine cover picture of myself. Forget that. But healthy, ready, willing, and able. And a good witness of somebody that's got self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Steve. Steve, thank you so much for waiting. You're on with Steve Noble on the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, brother. Can you hear me?
I got you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Yeah, I it just seems to me, it sounds like you're on fire for the Lord, and I appreciate that. I value that. It just seems to me you might have made a bit of a leap here that's not justified by those statistics, if I heard it right. I'm wondering if, and I thought you were kind of getting there a couple of minutes ago when you were talking about potential underlying issues with people that overeat. I submit to you, it might be the case that those numbers are as they are, the statistics, because the ministry and the church draws, it's just part and parcel to who we are. The church draws a certain kind of person to it. You know, the average worldly person that's got everything rocking for them, their heart isn't burdened to the point often where they yield to a call from the Lord, you know, so I think there's a brokenness factor there that should be factored in here in terms of analyzing the people group that come to church probably already have eating disorders. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I would say to that one, Matthew, that okay, fine, when you first come in, but now we get saved and now we begin the sanctification process where we have to begin to be good stewards of everything that God has given us. We have to start considering everything. And for a brand new Christian, certainly their weight is not going to be my first issue with them. I want to make sure they totally understand the gospel. They totally understand their salvation. They totally understand what the road looks like between them at their salvation and them at their glorification when they come into the presence of the Lord. So I'm not going to talk to them first about their dress or about what they eat or what they drink or their weight. But at some point, everything comes under the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything should be surrendered to that. And I think because of the pervasiveness of this, it's a symptom of something deeper, which is the lack of self-control and a lack of the desire, not the ability, but the desire to deny ourselves. We see it with money. We see it pornography. We see it with food and pasta. This is Steve Noble sitting in for Dr. Brown. The Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back. It's Steve Noble sitting in for my buddy Michael Brown and a Christian wacko. Yeah, a Christian shock jock. Sometimes. But please, you guys, because I'm just guest hosting for Michael the first time. I'll be doing it again both hours tomorrow. Please hear my heart on this. This is a tough subject. I'm not sitting here giddy and laughing, trying to poke my finger at the weight issue. It is a issue, but as a Christian, we need to talk about all issues. And that's why we're doing it today on the Line of Fire. By the way, awesome website. Go to AskDrBrown.org. And help support him in everything that the Lord has called him to do. And be praying for him right now. He's in China. We need to lift our brother up, especially if you're a regular listener. You have obviously a connection with Dr. Brown. And just pray for him as he's in China doing the Lord's work. Check me out on Facebook. Let's be friends there under my name, Steve Noble. My website for my radio show, c2atoday.org. That's the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, today.org. If you want to check out the book and see how I ended up this way, which is a pretty good question, it's called The Making of a Christian Wacko. You can check that out as well. I'm going to go to Matthew. I think I've had you on hold, you know, since Jesus went back to his father, Matthew. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
I think it was since Joseph was raised up in Egypt. But anyway, sometimes God allows us to see the condition of things through, you know, outward appearances, like somebody who's possessed or whatever, their skin is kind of ashy, and they've got, like, you know, you can look at their eyes and you yeah. see darkness, you know. And so what God's showing us in this church here in the United States is how fat and self-consuming this church is.
Amen.
It's about feeding itself. It's about being more socially, like a social club, you know, with spaghetti dinners and everything like that, and more about, you know, bringing in all, everything, all the tithes into the house of the Lord, household of the Lord, to feed themselves. Very little is outward.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're also, when you're dieting, right, people tend to drink, you know, diet soda, and diet soda has artificial sweeteners, and the artificial sweeteners actually make you fat.
Yeah, they're poison.
You know, and so, I mean, you look at the condition coming from the pulpit. A lot of the times, how many pastors actually sit down and they just say, you know what, Lord, you give me the words, you speak to me, you give me what I'm supposed to preach today, and go out and preach what the Holy Spirit leads them to preach. Most of them are taking sermons that other people have given, taking it, modifying it a little bit for themselves, and giving the same sermons over and over again, so that all they're doing really is feeding the congregation this artificial sweeteners, this fattening stuff,
amen,
rather than going right to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, guide me today and what I need to preach, so that way somebody who's out there who you want to minister through me can receive the word.
Yeah, Matthew, I think those are awesome points. Thanks so much for calling in. And Matthew's looking at the bigger picture here, this whole self-indulgence of the church. Listen, we've got $300 billion in hard assets in the American church. So Jesus comes back tomorrow. We hand him our balance sheet, and you could see us kind of giving him that look. Hey, Lord, check this out. What do you think? Look at that. Look at all these things we built. Look at all this stuff we got. Check out how plush our carpet is underneath our big fat rear ends. Check this out. And you think God's going to be impressed by our $300 billion in hard assets in the American church? Self-indulgent, we're supposed to be others indulgent, are we not? See, this is why you may think I'm talking about weight. We're talking about something a whole lot bigger than this. We're talking about the condition of our hearts. And in that case, we need to talk about it all the time. Let's go to Lee, who's been kind enough to call in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, catch us next hour in Charlotte, Lee, because we're still going to be on there. Let's go to all the way to Mike and Jersey City, New Jersey. Mike, you're on with Steve in the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Steve. I just want to say that in a culture that's as shallow as the image you see in a mirror, yeah, a pastor's appearance is going to make a big difference. But when it comes down to the Spirit of God working through a person, his strength is perfected in weakness.
Amen.
So we don't need to have Aryan types standing in the pulpit telling us what to do. We need real people.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. But at what point do we take that liberty? You know, so where grace abounds, sin abounds all the more?
How about this? Is it within our liberty to cut down the church or to build up the church?
I think it's within our liberty to call each other out and to try to build one another up. As long as you're doing it with love, and that's where you can judge me, you can try to judge my heart by my words, Mike, but you don't know me from Boo, and we've only been talking to each other for a few minutes, and you've been listening for a while, so we got to be really careful with the heart issue. What's that? I'm sorry.
Listeners are on the radio.
Well, yeah, but, you know, here's the challenge there, and I thank you for calling in, is this is what we do in the church. Oh, well, this is hard to talk about. Somebody might get their feelings hurt, so let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about the fact that pornography is rotting the church from inside out, both in the pulpit and the pews, because everybody's guilty of it, or at least 60 to 70% of us are guilty of it. But let's not talk about it because somebody's feelings might get hurt. I'm tired of the adultery. I'm tired of the idolatry of our feelings. And then we're just silent and we don't say anything. And everybody shows up on Sunday looking nice in their Sunday best. And meanwhile, our lives are trashed. But we're not willing to talk about it because somebody's feelings might get hurt. Well, if I'm saying it because I'm trying to hurt your feelings, then I am a judgmental, unloving jerk, and I'm bringing shame to the name of Christ. But right now, that is absolutely not what I'm doing. I'm talking about a condition of the heart. Listen, I was a major league glutton. I was eating candy and garbage all the time, but I had a metabolism that hit it. So I was never more than like 10 pounds overweight at 6 feet, 1 inch tall. So nobody would think I had a weight issue because you couldn't see it. But I definitely had a heart issue. I was a glutton through and through. And I needed to be called on it. Nobody talked to me about it. We don't talk about it. And it's unloving because we don't talk about it because we're not striving with one another. Come, let us reason one to another, the Old Testament says. And so my primary concern isn't whether the conversation is difficult. My secondary concern is not whether somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. My primary concern is what does God say? And what are we doing with what God says? Let's go to David calling all the way in from Hawaii. Oh, I was so looking forward to David calling in from Hawaii. Hang loose out there, brother. I'm so sorry that we missed you. And if you want to continue this conversation, I'm happy to do it. Just go to my Facebook page. It's under my name, Steve Noble. And again, this is like speed dating. You know, I've hosted the first hour. I'm going to host the second hour. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about some tough issues, but I'm just tired of dancing around these things, friends. That's what I love about Michael Brown. He's unafraid. Listen, if I can lay the intentions of my heart, if I can lay the topic, if I can lay the goal before the cross of Christ, I'm okay with that. I don't need your approval. I only need God's. But I care about you. I care enough to speak the truth. I care enough to take the flack for being willing to get out there and bring up these subjects. And this is one of those, it took me a year to do it in the first place, earlier this year on my show. I'm like, fat pastors, really? Really, Steve, are you really going to go there? Are you telling me that somebody that's weighs less is more holy than somebody that weighs more? I don't know that. I don't know, because I don't know your heart. I know it could be the indication of a problem that could be residing in your heart, a lack of self-control, overindulgence in the self and the things of the world. Friends, we are called to a much higher standard than your average person. We're called to the high standards we find in Christ and His Word. This is Steve Noble, Line of Fire. I love you guys. Excited to come back tomorrow and after the top of the hour.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. Yes, I am in China right now, but you've got to hear my special guest host today, Steve Noble, Christian broadcaster, author, and oh, you got to hear the rest. Here he is.
And you got to hear the rest. Here he is. This is Steve Noble sitting in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Brown. AskDrBrown.org is his website. Make sure you're supporting him. And at the very least, please be praying for Michael this week as he's in China doing what the Lord has called him to do. I love that guy, don't you? I love Michael Brown because he's unafraid. He's unapologetic, and I mean that in a way where he's not going to bite back on the Word of God. He's not going to hold back. We just did in the last hour on the show, we just did a very difficult topic. It was called Fat Pastors. Talk about no sacred cows. I mean, the phones were lit up the whole hour, and it was just an incredible conversation. It's difficult, though. Nobody wants to go there, so we don't talk about it. It remains in the dark where Satan has power, just kind of like pornography. It's a huge problem. It's all over the place, but nobody wants to talk about it because too many people are guilty of it. And so it stays in the dark where it's under Satan's power. And we bring it out into the light. Look out, baby. Here's the gospel. Here's healing. Here's salvation. Here's a new direction. That's what happens. This is Steve Noble. Some people say you're like a Christian shock jock, Steve, or you're kind of a Christian wacko. Yeah, I resemble those remarks. Some people say, hey, Steve, you're awfully passionate. You know what? I mean, I used to say, yeah, praise God. I don't agree with that statement anymore. I'm not passionate. I'm desperate. There's a difference. Why are you desperate, Steve? Christians shouldn't be desperate. Listen, I'm not desperate in terms of my biblical worldview, my salvation. God is on the throne. He rules the universe with his feet up. I'm not desperate because I'm freaking out about that. God's sovereignty. I trust his sovereignty because I know his character. What I'm desperate about is I'm desperate for the nation, I'm desperate for the state of our nation. I'm desperate for the state of the church. I'm desperate for my walk with the Lord, your walk with the Lord, what we're doing with our children, grandchildren, how we're reaching or not reaching our neighbors, our loved ones, our coworkers. So I'm desperate for the things of God. And so that's why I'm always kind of charged up like this. People are like, Steve, are you like this just when you're on the radio? No, I'm pretty much like this all the time. Ask my poor wife and my four kids. It's like, Dad, oh, God, put a sock in it, bud. You know, but you know, I love the Lord. I love you guys. I love you enough to tell you the truth. So here we are on the Line of Fire. Great to be with you. We're going to open up a can of worms on Dr. Michael Brown asked me a couple weeks ago, actually. He said, Steve, you want to come on and talk about Obamacare? He hasn't really talked about that much. And I've done some things with Obamacare. I used to be a major league political activist, Christian activist dealing with the culture war. I've worked with Greg Laurie in the Harvest Crusades, evangelism back in 06 and 07, still involved with those guys who I love. And God really worked on my heart back there during that period because you know what? Let me tell you this. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. It was harder to get your average church involved in the proclamation of the gospel and evangelism than it was to get them foaming at the mouth about politics. Now tell me if that doesn't strike you as a little upside down. Yes, politics is important, but the gospel, friends, is preeminent. God dealt with me on that one, and I've been much more focused on our walk with the Lord, my handling of Scripture, my handling of the lost. Yes, we deal with politics. Yes, we're going to talk about Obamacare today, but primarily my focus isn't there. My focus is on evangelism. My focus is on discipleship. My focus is on what are we doing with the faith that we claim to have. So let me ask you this question. How's Obamacare working out for you? I want to hear your stories. Have you lost your insurance? Have you gotten a notice in the mail talking about how much your insurance is going up? Have you tried to sign up for the Affordable Health Care Act? I know a lot about the Constitution. I know a lot about the government. I teach homeschoolers. I'm a father of four. Like I said, we have four homeschoolers. I teach U.S. Constitution and civics to high school age homeschoolers. I love the government. I know a fair amount about it. Obamacare is just an absolute train wreck that's getting worse every day, but it impacts real people. It impacts you. It certainly impacted me. So how's Obamacare working for you? What's your Obamacare story? Did you get a note in the mail yet? If you have insurance through your employer, that shoe hasn't dropped yet. But next year, we're talking millions and millions of people who are probably going to lose their health care. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-34-TRUTH. Call me with your Obamacare stories. We'll pick it up with that when we come back after this.
Oh, name, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. This is Steve Noble sitting in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Brown, also a radio guy. Michael Brown is my brother from another mother, and met him several years ago. What a great guy. What a warrior for the Lord. I just so appreciate him. I appreciate everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now, because if you're listening to Michael Brown 5 days a week or as many times as you can, that tells me a really important thing about your walk with Christ, is that you're serious. If you're not serious, you turn this kind of stuff off. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to get challenged. You don't want to get pushed around. You don't want to have to look in a mirror. So you just stay away from it. Go on Sunday, maybe Sunday night, throw a few bucks in the plate, play it safe. Stay in the little safe harbor of a kind of a pseudo cultural Christianity. Yeah. Michael Brown doesn't play that game. Neither do I. And I'm honored that he would ask me to guest host for him. Remember to pray for him. He's in China right now and then eventually in India doing the Lord's work. So let's lift up our brother, Dr. Michael Brown. AskDrBrown.org. You can always find out all about his ministry and how you can support it there. The easy way, the only way I'm going to tell you to hook up with me by listening on the radio. If you're on the Truth Radio Network and other stations around the country, it's great to be with you. Or find me on Facebook just under my name, Steve Noble. Now let's go back, and that's N-O-B-L-E, by the way. Let's go back to October 1st. Do you remember this? October 1st. It was a Monday night. It was coming up on midnight at 12 o'clock midnight. It was going to turn October 1st, and two big things were scheduled to happen. One, it was the government shutdown. And two was the opening of the healthcare.gov website. So I decided, for the sake of the radio audience, that I'm going to stay up and I'm going to check this out. I was wondering, I had lots of lights on downstairs in the house. I'm like, let's see when the government shuts down if my power goes out. Let's see if my internet stops. Let's see if my cell phone stops working, my smartphone. Let's check all this out. And that was going to happen at exactly midnight. And on the other hand, you had healthcare.gov starting up at midnight. And so there I was. My wife and my four awesome kids are all asleep, and I'm just sitting down there waiting, kind of like Y2K. Remember that? Y2K. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? That was great for the evangelism, by the way. People, Steve, do you think it might be the end of the world? Well, let's say it is. Are you ready? Man, God gives us some softballs to deal with when it comes to the advancement of the gospel. But that night, I'm just sitting here watching, and at 12 o'clock, when both of those things happen, healthcare.gov goes, quote-unquote, live, and the government shutdown happens. You guess what happened at 12 o'clock? Straight up. You know what happened? Absolutely nothing. I went to the healthcare.gov website. Nothing. Couldn't get on. It keep coming back. No, keep coming back. Keep reloading. Reload, 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 reload. The government shutdown. What's going on? Nothing. Ooh, let's switch over to PBS. Still running. Turn on the radio. That public broadcasting there on the radio. NPR. Still running. Wow. And so it's the same thing happened in both cases. Nothing. But here's what the deal was. The Noble family, we have my wife and I, my darling wife, Gina, and myself, and our four kids. And I was self-employed for years. I owned a house painting company. God sold that back in 2011. So we have to get our own health insurance, right? And so once you don't have your own company, even if it's a small company, when you're running your health costs through the company, no big deal, right? $700, $800 a month. You don't even think about it. Now, all of a sudden, it's coming out of the Noble checkbook. So we switched. We switched our insurance from a regular coverage to a HSA, a health savings account. And what happened is this was the big shocker when the president's saying since way back in like 2010 that, you know, Obamacare and everything, you can keep your, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. If you like insurance, you can keep it. If you like it, you can keep it. If you like it, you can keep it. However, the dirty little secret was that if you had done your homework, you might have known this. If you changed anything since March 23rd, 2010, when the president signed that, then it's going to get canceled. If anything, you're not grandfathered in. You can't keep anything. And so I came to that realization like, wow. And now we're having to pay more money. And so now we have a health savings account. And this was about dollars and cents. I'm not pontificating from on high. I don't have some huge ministry. I'm like you guys. I'm pretty much a guy out here with the view from the pew. And so there's no way we're going to use Obamacare because Obamacare funds abortion and some other things like that. And we're not going to do it. We're going to have to find another way. God help us. It's going to be hard. So that night, I jumped onto the exchange because I wanted to try to do some work to share with the audience. I'm like, listen, I'll just take one for the team. I'll go through this stuff and check it out. So here's what I did. I tried that night. Didn't work. I tried the next day, tried the next day, tried the next day. Couldn't work. It wasn't until October 11th that I started to get somewhere. It took me 2.5 hours. And what I did through that process of 2.5 hours is I took a bunch of screenshots. You know what a screenshot is? That's you can use a function on your computer, what you're looking at on the internet, you can take a little picture of it and it makes a file. So that's what I did. And I'm going to go through these with you because I want to use my experience to help you and show you what's going on. But I also want to hear from you guys. What's happening to you in your health insurance world? What's happening to your coverage? Have you gotten the notices yet? Have you figured out how much it's going to go up? Here in North Carolina, it's going up on average 80%. And you start going, I can't afford this. Huh? What do I do? And other people are just having their plans dropped. See ya. Gone. So what's been your experience with Obamacare so far? 866-348-7884. By the way, I want both sides of the story. Maybe it's something that's been great for you. I did this on my show a couple weeks ago, and a lady called in who had a young child, pre-existing conditions, big medical nightmare. And Obamacare to her was an answer to prayer. Now, for me, it's a nightmare. But for her, it was an answer to prayer. And I was so glad she called in because we got to talk about that. We got to talk about the fact that there are some very real needs out there. But what about for you? I really want to hear from you what your experience is on the whole healthcare scenario as a result of the Affordable Health Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Or you can just come along for the ride as I take you down the road that I traveled back on October 11th when I went through this process just to set up an account. I have not bought anything. But man, you would think I was buying up half the country with the type of questions that I was asked. So you get started. I'm just going to walk you through this, okay? So follow along, class. I'm going to share this with you. Almost there. We sent you an email. Click the link in the email message, and it'll be one step closer to having health insurance. Now, I'm reading you things right off the healthcare.gov website, okay? I've got the screen captures. That's when it struck me very early in this process, this kind of dark, foreboding thought that I'm going to the federal government for my health insurance. And that does not sit well with me. I guarantee it does not sit well with the founding fathers because our government is supposed to be limited, small, because of our human depravity. That's why it's split up, three different branches, all these checks and balances. So I'm sitting there going, I'm communicating with the federal government to get health insurance for my family. Boy, that's unsettling. So that was the first one. They're going to send me an email. I'm dealing with the government to get my health care. The next one, success. Your account has been created. With this account, you can use the health insurance marketplace to find health coverage that fits your budget and meets your needs. Well, we can all laugh a little bit at that one because what we're finding out now is Obamacare doesn't fit most people's budget, but that's what they're selling on the website. Here was the next one, terms and conditions so that healthcare.gov remains accurate and available to you, blah, 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 blah. They're talking about all these things. Then all the ways that they can come after you for fraud and abuse, the Fraud and Abuse Act of 1986 and Title 18. To continue, you must accept terms and conditions. If you decline, your login will automatically be canceled. So now I'm getting this foreboding thought of, well, now the government, now they're telling me, you know, they're going to prosecute me if I'm not honest. Now I should be honest. The point isn't honesty. The point is the federal government looking down over my shoulder. Here's the next one. Your identity has been verified. Now, for me as a North Carolinian, this is particularly funny. Your identity has been verified. Healthcare.gov, Obamacare makes a big deal out of verifying your identity. Yet, here I am in North Carolina, and the same federal government, the same president, and his attorney general, Eric Holder, are suing the state of North Carolina because we dared to pass a voter ID law. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, yeah, you better ask me for my license when I come vote because you need to make sure that I am who I say I am. I can just say, oh, you know, Steve Noble and such a street. Oh, okay. Is this your address? Yeah. Okay. Sign here and go vote. So we passed a voter ID law. The federal government's suing us because we're daring to verify people's identity before they vote. But the federal government on its own now making a big deal on healthcare.gov, Obamacare, to verify your identity. Hypocrisy? Two-faced? Yeah, you could say so. Let me take some calls real quick before we hit the break. Let me get to Annette real quick, who's calling in from Sanford, North Carolina. Annette, you're on with Steve on the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I do have a question for you to help me with. And the Obamacare, Obama is coming back in with the laws that he's trying to fix it with. Does he have the authority to change the law, to adjust it, to make this fix with without Congress approving?
I love that question, Annette. I'm sorry. I dropped your call there because I want you to be able to just listen to the answer because it's not uncomplicated. And this is going to take us through the break. Listen, we've got the three branches of government are up there, right? We got judicial. Their job is to interpret the law. We have the legislative. Their job is to make the law. They made Obamacare. And then you have the executive. which is the president, the biggest of the three branches, over 2 million employees in the executive branch. His job is to enforce the law. Does the president of the United States, constitutionally speaking, I don't care what anybody's feelings are, what does the Constitution say? I'm a strict constructionist. Does he have the right to not enforce the law? In some cases, he's saying, I'm going to blow off the law. In other cases, he says, I have to enforce it. That's what happened with the government shutdown and all the federal facilities that got shut down and the national parks and the monuments. Then he's like, well, we don't have a choice. We have to enforce the law. But in this case, because it's politically expedient, he says, no, we're not going to enforce the law. Constitutionally, his job is to enforce the law, not make up his own. This is Steve Noble on the Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Twice, but it bears repeating. And you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it. If you like the plan you have, you can keep it. If you like your plan and you like your doctor, you won't have to do a thing. You keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan. If you've got health insurance, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you will keep your plan. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. If you have insurance that you like, then you will be able to keep that insurance. If you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
All right, that's enough. I think you get the point. You know, this has been all the way back to 2009 when the president kept saying, if you like your health care plan, you can keep your plan. If you like it, you can keep it. By the way, none of those were repeated. Those were all individual incidences. And that's the challenge. I really appreciated the last caller. What a great question. Does he even have the constitutional legal right to do it? Can he enforce one and not enforce another? Well, this is a president that doesn't think too much of the Constitution, friends, because he kind of applies it when it works for him, and then he ignores it when it doesn't. Same thing's true on the issue of marriage. Dr. Michael Brown here on the Line of Fire has talked about marriage a lot. I've been fighting for the marriage amendment here in my home state of North Carolina for the last 7 years. God blessed us last year, and we got that victory. But he said, our president said with Eric Holder, the attorney general, you know what, we're just not going to enforce the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Well, I'm sorry, sir. Your job is to enforce the laws. Not whether you feel like it or not. Constitutionally, your job is to enforce the laws on the books. That's called character. That's called integrity. And yes, I am you want to call me a right winger? Go ahead. I'm so far to the right, I'm about to fall off the planet. However, I will remind you that I pray for the president regularly. I don't know whether he's saved. He says he is. I have a hard time believing that myself, but I don't know. And so I pray for the man. I pray first for his salvation. I pray second for wisdom and a multitude of counselors that can come around him. This thing's such a huge train wreck, and maybe it's happening on purpose. That really scares me, that perhaps they designed it to fail. Because ultimately, with that worldview, that progressive worldview, they might want to just get to a single-payer system where the government's in control of all of it. All of it. So the whole thing fails, and it's too big to fail, right? So who bails it out? We've been down this road before. Do you feel the deja vu in the air? The government bails itself out. Just like he said when he got elected, we are the solution. We are the people we've been waiting for. Maybe, that's such an insidious thought, that they actually designed it to fail. Man, scary times. So by the way, if you don't know the Lord as Savior, and you don't have eternal bliss to look forward to, and you're putting all your stock in what happens on this planet at this time, you're bumming, aren't you? Totally bumming. Please walk away from that idolatry of all things political and all things fleshly and all things America. Go first to the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All this other stuff will be added to you. You'll be fine. But we're talking about Obamacare today, 866-348-7884. I'm sharing with you what I discovered as I went through the Obamacare website to set up an account. I'm not buying any from them, but I did set up an account so that I could share with our radio audience and today here on the Line of Fire. Give us a call if you want to share your Obamacare experience, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to Judy calling in from Concord, North Carolina. Judy, thanks so much for holding, and you're on with Steve on the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. What puzzles me, Steve, is I do not understand why the Christian alternatives, which are legal and can be used instead of this abomination aren't being talked about. There's, I know at least three. I've talked to all three companies, find out what they cost and the fact that they'll cover this or that, or they don't, you know. Are you not familiar with those three?
I'm very familiar with MediShare. If you have your radio on in the background, by the way, turn that off if you would, please. That
no,
would be helpful.
I don't know why it's echoing. The radio is not
That's on. All right. But MediShare is the one I know of, which is like $300 a month, and you're actually writing your check, which goes to another Christian family when they have needs. It doesn't cover, like, you know, it doesn't cover if you, you know, have simple little things. You go for a cough or whatever, a checkup. But those are things there that I think ultimately, sadly to say, Judy, I think that we live fearfully. We want everything for nothing. We want the whole shooting match, and we don't have to put anything into it. And we've become a nation that's entitled to health care. And that's the way we look at it.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But if you have to get something, why not get something that doesn't pay for abortions? There's MediShare, something called Christian Health, and something called Samaritan Ministries, which is not Samaritan's Purse.
Right, right. I've read that one, too.
Oh, okay. So
I think that's a great idea. I'm totally with you. Because
let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If you don't get one of those alternatives, or instead you elect to get nothing and you pay the penalty, does it not mean, and I really am asking for the answer, I don't know
sure.
this one, but doesn't it mean you have to buy into one of their approved health care providers, which will help you to pay for killing children?
You can choose to have no insurance. You pay a fine. So you can get away with not buying it.
But if you get one of their approved other people, not the Christian ones, which are approved too, and they're exempt, they said, just like the Amish are. Is it not true that if you don't use an alternative, that you are, by virtue of just buying one of these approved things that are the regular insurance companies, not the Christian ones, are you not then having to buy into a system that provides abortion?
Yes, you are. You're helping to resource the killing of children.
Okay, then from what I understand, and I'll quit after this, there is no alternative for Christians except either get one of the Christian alternatives of health coverage or pay the fine. Because what you're telling me is everybody will be helping to pay for the death of the children or other ungodly things.
You actually have
surgery.
Yeah, and Judy, with the echo and everything, I'm going to drop your call so you can listen. You actually have three options. You can do the Christian plan, which is like MediShare and Samaritans. Those are great plans. They're worthy of looking into. I'm going to try to get them on my show here in the next before the end of the year, where you're helping other Christians and you're sharing healthcare costs. Boy, that sounds a lot like the Book of Acts, doesn't it? And so there's that. Then there's you buy into the healthcare insurance exchanges, all right? I'm in North Carolina. You have to go on the federal exchange. You buy one of the government's products through the different health insurance carriers, and you are, in fact, helping to underwrite the killing of children, abortifacients, all of that stuff. Or there is option number three. You pay the fine. You get no insurance. You walk into the doctor, whatever. Now they're doing concierge plans. You go into the doctor. You pay cash. You're not paying money into the system through the government. You're not buying the Christian insurance plans. You're doing it on your own. Rush Limbaugh, for example, love him or leave him, the guy's so rich, he just walks in and throws a credit card down on the table or writes a check or uses a debit card. $80,000 procedure, whatever, here, take it out of my debit account. So there are three options. You can go it alone. You can do the Christian MediShare thing when you're not funding the abortion system, or you go buy it and you do fund abortion. That's the deal, because that's part of the stipulations with Obamacare, one of the insidious things about it. Let's go to Jody, who's calling in from Mooresville, North Carolina. Jody, you're on with Steve in the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing today?
Great, thanks.
I just wanted to mention that there are so many Christians that's supporting this. How do we as Christians educate them besides, you know, just the issue of abortion? Obviously, most Christians are not for that, but how do we show them biblically and spiritually that this is
well, bad? Jody, I'm with you. I've got an answer for that. It's called dollars and cents. We'll pick it up there when we come back after the break. That's stewardship, by the way. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. This is Steve Noble, Dr. Brown's brother from another mother, sitting in for him today and tomorrow, which is a great honor. Pray for Michael. He's on the mission field teaching and speaking and sharing the gospel over in China, then moving to India after that. So let's lift up our brother. And you can always check him out, AskDrBrown.org, which is a great website and a great mission that you can be a part of. Listen, not all of us have a voice on the radio. Some of us do. So the ones that do need your support, whether it's Michael Brown or my ministry, whatever. This is all part of the body of Christ, and we each have our place on the wall. Some of them are a little more noticeable than others, but ours isn't any more valuable than yours. Just remember that. Mine's just different. The fact that I'm on the radio, that's just a different mantle God's given me. It's not any better or any worse, any more important than yours. It's just different. And so we need to lift each other up. First, certainly, number one, with prayer, and number two, with as much support, financial and otherwise, as we can. So it's great to be with you here today on the Line of Fire, talking about Obamacare. Our last caller had a great question. If you're trying to talk to other Christians about the problems with Obamacare, besides the obvious thing, which Hobby Lobby and a bunch of great groups like that are fighting them because of the mandates in there that these insurance companies help pay for abortions and abortive fashions like the pill, which is declaratively kills the life of a newborn, not a newborn, a new creation, right? Created in the womb. Right there, Psalm 139. The pill sometimes kills the embryo. And that's abortion, friends, whether you like to hear it or not. That's just the truth. And so his question was, if you can't get to him on that issue, how can you talk to other Christians about Obamacare? And I would go to stewardship. I would also go to the generation beneath us and the next generation behind that. Listen, they talk about, and I ran into this on the website, and I'll take you through it here as the show unfolds, where we talk about subsidies. I'm like, that's kind of funny. The government's subsidizing my health insurance with what money? We're borrowing 40 cents on the dollar. We're at $17 trillion and climbing. And we're borrowing 40 cents on the dollar just to pay our bills. And they're going to subsidize my health insurance with what? Well, that would be with my children's money. And that would be with their children's money, my grandchildren, God willing, one day. And so stewardship, that's stealing, by the way. We're stealing from the next generation, the generation after that, and most likely the generation after that, should the Lord tarry. We're stealing from them to take care of ourselves. It's terrible stewardship. I'm not ignoring the fact that we have problems in the healthcare system. I'm not ignoring the fact that we need to take care of the least of these, above and beyond the ultimate least of these, which are the unborn. But you don't change the entire system to deal with the exceptions. You don't manage the whole system by dealing with the exceptions to the rule. Unfortunately, I think this is more about ideology and wanting to turn it into a single-payer system and moving down the road of progressivism and Marxism, dare I say communism, and the government is the answer to everything. Listen, when you decide that your government's going to become God, sooner or later that God becomes a devil. I think we're in the process of seeing that unholy birth right now. Let's go to Pat, who's calling in from Raleigh. Thanks so much for holding, Pat. You're on with Steve in the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good, I had a song for you.
Oh, yeah, do it quick.
Oh, Barack Obama's health care bill, do-da, do-da, guaranteed to make you ill, oh, do-da day. Gonna tax all night, gonna tax all day. Barack Obama's health care bill, who do you think will pay?
Pat, the only reason I just hung up is because the sound quality is all messed up. And but Pat calls in every once in a while. He's a really fun songwriter and uses that music, the platform of music, to make a point. And yeah, it's going to make you ill. Death panels and all that stuff, which everybody shot down. Listen, sooner or later, friends, you're trying to feed 1,000 people with $5. And it's not going to work sooner or later because our government isn't Christ. They're not going to multiply the loaves and the fishes. They're going to have to say no to some and yes to others. And guess who's going to get left out? It's going to be the very old, the very ill, the very deformed. It's going to get there because the numbers you cannot run from. It will collapse in on itself. And sooner or later, it's like you're on a boat out to sea and you only have so much food. And that's going to get ugly. And because of human depravity, everybody's not going to give up their own. You're going to have some people that are like, I'm going to get mine. And somebody else is going to have to pay for it. This is very scary, which is why we need to be praying for those in authority over us every day. Man, do they need to help? So do we. This is Steve Noble, Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends. It's Steve Noble of Call to Action Radio, filling in for my buddy Michael Brown here on The Line of Fire. AskDrBrown.org is his website. Find me on Facebook. That's the easiest way, under my name, Steve Noble. By the way, I just put up two of the three Christian alternatives to Obamacare. One is called, you just go to MyChristianCare.com. That's MediShare. I put that link up on my Facebook page under Steve Noble. And then I put the other one up, which is called Samaritan Ministries International. There's one other one that I'll put up here in a little bit, but I put those on my Facebook page so you can check those out. That way, you can support other Christians. They can support you. You can avoid supporting our government, which is bloating and getting just more reckless all the time. And you can avoid putting your money that God has provided you into the hands of organizations like Planned Parenthood, because they're getting funded to a certain degree by Obamacare, because Obamacare is forcing all these insurance carriers to include the coverage on abortion and the coverage on abortifacients. And you don't want, I know you don't, you don't want any part of that. So that's another reason to be really wary and pay attention to what we're talking about today on The Line of Fire. Obamacare, what's been your experience? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And I'll share some more things from the website when I went through. I'm not buying anything. I just created an account so I could share it with you guys. Let's go to Mary, who's been kind enough to call in from Raleigh. Oh, bummer. Mary, if you're out there, please call back and I'll get you back on the air. Let's go to Grace in St. Petersburg, Florida. What a great place. Grace, thanks for calling, talking about Obamacare on The Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Thank you so very much, sir. I'm a senior citizen, and I was a part of AARP, but I got out of it quite a while back when I found out that they had given quite a sum of money to Obamacare. And I heard of another one that's called AMAC. And what do you know about that particular one?
Well, that's a great question, Grayson. Thanks for calling in. Listen, this is a matter of doing homework, okay? So AARP, which is out there, the American Association of Retired People, which is really, I mean, everybody assumes, oh, that's for retired people. They're a good group. Well, don't believe everything you read or hear or see, okay? You have to check out AARP, very left-leaning. They totally supported Obamacare, and that's a whole nother show. I don't want to go there. But there are alternatives to the AARP. Association 60 Plus is another one that I know of. I actually know the guy that started it. 60 Plus, another organization that's more conservative in its politics and in its agenda. So they're out there. You can do your homework. Don't just sit around and go based on the ads that you see. You know, Google can be used for some things. So get out there and do your homework. But like when it comes to Obamacare, you really only have three options. You buy nothing from anybody. You pay cash. You pay the fine. Okay. Or you go through healthcare.gov, which I tried to do just to set up an account, and I'll share some more with you from that, real eye-opening stuff. And then you're buying the healthcare insurance through the healthcare websites, and you're buying it through whether a state exchange or a federal exchange, and you're putting money, the money that God has allowed you to make and provided for you, you're putting that money into a system that helps subsidize abortion. And I certainly hope you can't sleep at night with that one. The third alternative, which we talked about earlier, is there are a few Christian alternatives where you basically share medical costs with other Christians, aka Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 1 as well. You throw that in there. And you have these other alternatives. I put those up on my Facebook page just under my name, Steve Noble, N-O-B-L-E. Here's some more things that I ran into on the website, then I'll get to your calls. This is some more stuff about privacy information, right? We're going to keep your stuff private, blah, blah. Really? Hasn't anybody read any story in the last year, something about the NSA and all this stuff that they're collecting on us, and somehow all of a sudden it's not private? Well, that's interesting. Here's one. You had to check the agreement box here. I agree to have my information used and retrieved from data sources for this application. I have consent for all people I'll list on the application for their information to be retrieved and used from data sources. So not only am I signing up Steve Noble, but Gina Noble and my four kids, and I'm giving the government freedom to access their information. The federal government. It's just scary, friends, that the federal government, which was designed fundamentally to be small, designed fundamentally to be inefficient so that it couldn't grow. They did it anyway because of our human depravity. Gimme, 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 gimme. And this thing is so big, so bloated. Now they're wanting access to not only my information, but they're asking me for permission to get to my wife and my four kids' information as well. That's your federal government. I love this one. Is Steve Noble a U.S. citizen or a U.S. national? This is from the healthcare.gov website. This is what it says above this. Listen carefully. I dropped this one on the lieutenant governor in North Carolina, and he almost fell out of his chair. This is what it says. You don't have to be a U.S. citizen or U.S. national to qualify for health coverage. What? So now, So now, me, a U.S. citizen, is now going to fund the health care for some other person, not a U.S. citizen. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. Here's another one. Steve Noble's race and ethnicity. I thought that didn't matter. Wasn't it me that says anything negative about the president, and all of a sudden I'm a racist? Now they're asking me for my race and ethnicity? This information will be used to help the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services better understand and improve the health of and health care for all Americans by getting into my race. That's interesting. Here's another one. Again, these are right from the healthcare website. And then I'm going to go to calls. Based on what you told us, if Hayden's income is steady month to month, then it's about blank. So now the government's wanting to know how much my 18-year-old, who's a senior in high school, is making. Because then they turn around and I haven't been able to figure it out yet, but I think they factored that in to my household income in order to determine the size of the subsidy that they can't afford to give me, but they promised me. They're asking about my son's income so I can get health insurance. That's what happens when you hand over control of this size of your life to the federal government. Very, very scary stuff. Lee and Charlotte, you're on with Steve Noble in the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve, I really appreciate your courage, and I listened to your show, and I actually met you at a homeschooling conference.
Lee. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling.
What's going on, man? For the lack of a better term, I want to play devil's advocate.
Please.
And I don't really like that term, but
I understand.
For the people, I have my life structured to where I'm the only person that works in my household. And so that my wife can homeschool our kids, and so that we can live, and so, you know, we don't have car payments. We live in a small house. I won't play devil's advocate. If I'm pushed, I feel as though, because I don't understand everything, because I don't stay in politics a lot. It feels as though I'm pressured to make the cheapest decision. That's what it feels like. And so if an individual is feeling though, if pressure to make the cheapest decision, I don't know how much the fine would be. So I'm just thinking to myself, okay, man, I can't afford $300 a month for Christian Medicare. I would love to do that, and though I may have to do some extra things or try to make it, but the devil's advocate position that I wanted to play was that, is there a difference from a Christian having Obamacare and possibly inadvertently supporting abortion? Is there a difference than shopping at Walmart that might have a pharmacy that provides the pill and, let's say, alcohol, if we're agreeing that getting drunk is sin, and maybe some false teachers that sell their books that teaches heresy and idolatry?
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Lee, we've got a kind of a tough connection, so I'm going to answer your questions on the air and just let you listen. Those are great questions, and I love having these conversations because it's, hey, listen, if you inadvertently, the first part of that, if you inadvertently buy the healthcare insurance through the government and you inadvertently support Planned Parenthood, let me deal with that one first. You're not inadvertently supporting it. The information's out there. Anybody that's hearing this, anybody that's being exposed to this information, you now have the information. Now you're responsible for the information. And you will be. Every dollar you put in, a portion of that dollar is going to end up in Planned Parenthood's pocket. So you're helping to support abortion. So there you go. If you can lay that before the Lord, that's between you and him. I don't know how you can do that. You can't biblically, because that's a stewardship issue. And you're certainly violating the issues of life and taking care of the least of these. So that's a major problem. I don't know how you can do it. To your other point, Lee, which is a great one. And what's the difference between going to a place, a business that happens to sell booze and other stuff, whether it's a Walmart or whoever it is? Well, again, in this case, that's somebody coming in to take part in what they happen to sell there. You're not doing that on purpose. And you're certainly not doing it on purpose with the healthcare. So now you're in a bit of a quandary. And now you can, now this is the challenge here in this case. Good luck finding a place to shop. Now, I have some friends at a place called Faith Driven Consumer, which will show you the businesses that more closely align with our worldview. But if you're going to say, I can't shop anywhere where they sin in any way, shape, or form, or facilitate sin in any way, shape, or form, you're not going to shop anywhere. You better go get some goats and some cows and some land, because you're going to have to support yourself, because that's just not going to happen. In this case, this happens to be part of a government that's right now controlled by a party that's advancing the abortion agenda. I don't see Walmart out there advancing the abortion agenda. I don't see them out there advancing the homosexual, the radical side of the homosexual agenda. I don't see them out there advancing the cause of a homosexual marriage and the reduction or elimination of regular marriage and the introduction of sexual anarchy. I don't see them doing that. I see my president doing that. I see the Democratic Party putting that in their platform and advancing that. So this has become something that's way more obvious, way more egregious, because they're advancing. Now, is Walmart kind of advancing the cause of whatever you can go find at Walmart that would be an affront to God? Sure they are. They're enabling it. But are they advertising it? Are they advancing it? Are they pushing it? Is it at the top of their list? Well, for me, I go, yeah, I'm comparing an apple and an orange. If my conscience convicts me, I'm not going to shop there. But in the case of healthcare and anything democratic, because they advance it and trumpet it and exalt it, I'll have nothing to do with them. This is Steve Noble, Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. This is Steve Noble. Dr. Michael Brown, I guess you could say he's my brother from another mother. What a great guy. It's an honor and a privilege to be here guest hosting for him today in the Line of Fire today and tomorrow if you're in North Carolina. If you're in Charlotte, hey, listen, everybody else listening today to the Line of Fire and can hear my voice all over America, pray for all of our friends in Charlotte, because that's 3 hours today and tomorrow of yours truly. That can be a challenge. Just ask my wife. Today we're talking about Obamacare on the Line of Fire. I've been through it, gone down the road of healthcare.gov. I'm going to share a couple more things with you from that, because it's really shocking, alarming, and downright scary to see the federal government getting involved in an issue this big and one that's as big of the U.S. Economy as it is. So here I'm looking at these ads, a series of ads. This is in the state of Colorado, trying to pump people up to go check out Obamacare. This is the way they're promoting it. And I'll tell you who's behind it in a second. This is Got Insurance, kind of like the Got Milk thing. Good-looking guy, good-looking gal. She's holding up an open box of birth control pills. Here's what it says on the ad. Let's get physical. In big bold letters. OMG, he's hot. Let's hope he's as easy to get as this birth control. My health insurance covers the pill, which means all I have to worry about is getting him between the covers. I got insurance. Now you can too. Thanks, Obamacare. Now, Kathleen Sebelius didn't put that out. The state of Colorado didn't put that out. It's two groups, the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative and Progress Now Colorado, put that out. And when you look into this, the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative, you see they're run by a bunch of ultra-liberal, progressive people. Many of them are obviously, when you look at the who's who on their website, practicing homosexuals, proud of it. God loves the homosexual. I love homosexuals just like I love everybody. Is it a sin? Yes. And we're not going to turn the show into a discussion on homosexuality. But it does show you a little bit about the worldview behind these things. And that's how they push it out there. And there's all kinds of their ads on that. I put it up on my Facebook page a week ago. All these ads that they're pushing out there to push people to Obamacare. I'm listening to it on conservative radio. I mean, it's just psycho. And they're like, oh yeah, let's use sex and drunkenness and keg barrel stands and all that kind of stuff to push Obamacare. Listen, this is no joke. This is no joke. We're bankrupting our country. We're bankrupting our children. We're bankrupting our grandchildren. Also, that we can go get some quote-unquote free healthcare, which isn't free because that doesn't exist. And so this is very scary, very sobering. Another reason you need to pray for those in authority every day, because they are getting all of us into they're getting us in so deep. I really don't know how we come back from that. $10.6 billion a day we spend. We borrow 40 cents on the dollar. We're $17 trillion in debt right now and climbing. And it's just a nightmare. Back to the healthcare.gov website. We'll finish with this, with my experience going through it. And income, we ask for current information for everyone in your family and household to make sure you get the most benefits possible. You may need pay stubs, W-2 forms, information about income. Now I'm having to prove my income to the federal government so that I can get, bing, 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 healthcare. Wow. Talk about intrusive. Scary stuff. Then you get into questions like this. Answer a few more questions about your household. Friends, this is right from healthcare.gov. Took me 2.5 hours to go through it on October 11th. Amelia Noble, it's my daughter, is the blank of Hayden Noble, sister, brother, cousin, wife, whatever. All this kind of stuff. So they're getting, now I'm looking at my kids' names on the healthcare website. Now, if that doesn't give you pause, your head's in the sand. And you're just, well, what's the big deal, Steve? They need that information. This is the federal government getting into the lives of the Noble family so that I can buy health insurance from them. I'm going to my federal government to get health insurance. You told us that Hayden Noble is the sibling of Amelia Noble. Is Hayden Noble's relationship to Amelia Noble also one of these relationships? Collateral dependent, court-appointed guardian, dependent of a minor dependent, guardian-sponsored dependent, ward, none of the above. I mean, you're getting into all this information because you want to get health insurance. Here's another one. See how this one makes you sleep tonight. To make it easier to determine my eligibility, again, this is right from the healthcare.gov website. To make it easier to determine my eligibility for help paying for health coverage in future years, I agree to allow the marketplace to use income data, including information from tax returns, for the next 5 years. The marketplace will send me a notice, let me make any changes, and I can opt out at any time. Well, isn't that nice? The next 5 years, I'm giving them information to dig into my personal stuff. The W-2 income sources. Now, they're going to do that on the taxes anyway, but now they're doing it again for health insurance. Do you see the government just creeping into everything? Do you get that sinking feeling it's kind of like Big Brother? Because it is. Here's another one. Sign and submit. I just realized the irony of that. Sign and submit. Read this statement and check whether you agree or disagree. I'm signing this application under penalty of perjury, which means I've provided true answers to all the questions to the best of my knowledge. I know that I may be subject to penalties under federal law if I intentionally provide false or untrue information. Agree or disagree? Wow. So I can get my health insurance from Big Brother. Here's the last one. So I got through it all, right? Set up an account. And then this screen comes up. Would you like to register to vote? Oh, isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice? Why do you think they're asking that question? Think about the people that they were assuming were going to clamor to healthcare.gov. By the way, it's only like 100,000 or so nationwide that have purchased it. We have millions that have been dropped from health insurance as a result of Obamacare, and about 100 grand that have picked it up. And they're hoping 30 million are going to get there. Would you like to register to vote? Well, let's just think, without sounding too judgmental, too harsh, of the average person that's going to go to the website. Somebody that's looking for a handout, help, entitlement, whatever. It's not everybody. I'm not going to paint with that broad of a brush. But they know they're going to get a good chunk of people going there that are comfortable going to the government for their stuff. And more often than not, we know who they vote for. They generally vote for members of the Democrat Party. Would you like to register to vote? I don't know that a Freedom of Information Act will be able to get to this. It would be interesting in a couple years to go see what percentage of the people that register to vote via the healthcare.gov website, if it ever gets up and running, are actually voting Democrat. It wouldn't be there, friends, if it were going to help the other side. And truth be told, the Republicans would probably do the same thing. Human depravity knows no bounds. People that abuse power on the left, people abuse power on the right. But would you like to register to vote on healthcare.gov? Well, Steve, don't you want people to vote? Yeah, don't be so Pollyanna-ish. Don't choose ignorance. Don't choose to put your head in the sand, because that's what's going on there. Friends, this is a government that's totally out of control, totally bloated. I mean, we're broke, and they're subsidizing us. With what? Our government's borrowing 40 cents on the dollar just to pay our bills. Now they come out with Obamacare, which now they're saying, oh, it's going to cost about $900 billion. Nope. We're up to about $2 to $4 trillion now, on top of the $17 trillion we are in debt and the $3.6 trillion we spend every year, of which we're borrowing 40%. The whole thing is a house of cards. Friend, here's the problem. Americans, most of us, are used to living on the Titanic. It's well appointed. The seats are plush. The service is pretty good. It's a nice ship, especially compared to the rest of the ships in the fleet all around the world. But like the Titanic of old, this Titanic is headed right for the bottom of the ocean. And you got people that are sitting there going, no, it's not. No, it's not, Steve. We'll be fine. This is America. I'm sorry, friends. We've got holes all up and down the side of this ship, and it's filling with water. You can't plug them. You can't save it the way it is. It is going down. So our choice is only one. We're going to have to switch over to a shrimp boat, live a very, very humble lifestyle, and try to survive. Life on the Titanic, you're going to the bottom. God bless you guys. It's been great being here on the Line of Fire. Pray for Dr. Michael Brown. And I will be back tomorrow. See you then.